Thanks, Dave. Greatly, greatly appreciate your prayers. Speaking of prayers, that's actually going to be our topic today. Because, see, everybody prays. They say there's no atheists in foxholes. I mean, at some point in our life, you know, whether you consider yourself a believer or not, you probably called out to God or something somewhere. Yeah. And most of the time, the prayer on some level is just a prayer of help. God, help. I'm in a situation that I can't control or understand. Oh God, would you please help? Now, these are good prayers, and it's good to pray them. It's good to pray, over each other and pray blessings for each other. I mean, one of the disciplines of my life is with the connection cards each week. I get to be part of that prayer team, just lifting up those prayer needs. And every time I see a connection card, even if you don't write anything on it other than your name, to me it's a reminder just to pray for your family and pray for God's will and God's blessing and God's anointing on your life. Those are good prayers. Those are good prayers. But here's the big idea that we're going to be looking at over the next 3 weeks. These are safe prayers. And here's what I mean by a safe prayer. Safe prayers are prayers that don't really cost us anything other than time. And the possibility, perhaps, of looking a little foolish if you pray a prayer out loud, you know, and it doesn't happen in the way that you thought it should be answered. They're good prayers. The healing prayers. Oh God, would you heal so-and-so? These are good prayers, but they're safe prayers because you yourself don't really risk anything in the process of praying that prayer, other than maybe some time. You know, you pray that God would answer, but if he doesn't answer in the way that you're hoping for, you personally aren't really out much. They're safe prayers. Or have you ever done the traveling prayers? You know, we come the traveling mercies. Oh God, would you grant traveling mercies to the Thompson family? Let's be honest. Who's prayed a prayer like that? They're good prayers. They're good prayers, but they're safe prayers. Because, you know, we're asking God, would you please bless what's going on? Would you please enhance my life? Would you make my life a little bit better? They're good prayers, but they're safe prayers. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about dangerous prayers, prayers that cost us something, prayers where when we pray them, we're actually a little nervous that God is going to answer them. Because if he does, it will cost us something. So here's the first prayer. Just put a short video on the screen as you open up your Bibles to Psalm 139 or open up your Bible apps. Okay.
Heavenly Father, as hard as this is for me, I'm asking you to search me. Search me, God, and know my heart. God, test my motives. Reveal to me my anxious thoughts. Show me anything in me that offends you. God, I want to see in me what you see in me, so I can become more like Jesus. God, I ask you to search me.
This week we're talking about search me prayers. So we're going to be in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Now you've probably, read this psalm before. It's pretty common. You might have even memorized it. I just want to go deep into these two verses because I don't think we quite understand what we're saying when we're praying what we're praying. So buckle up. So, but let's say it all together first, whether you're certain whether you mean this or not. We'll just practice the words coming off of your tongue, then we'll say it all together, and then we can kind of go a little bit deeper, and you can decide whether or not you want to actually pray a prayer like this. But let's try it all together. We're just saying it right now. You might mean it, or you might not mean it, but tonight, right now, we're just saying it, okay? Okay? Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's do that one more time. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's go through that a little more slowly, okay? Let's talk about, when we're saying, search me, God, and know my heart, let's talk about what we're saying.
Okay.
Search me, God, and know my heart. God, would you put a searchlight by the Spirit on my inner life. And he comes with this assumption that God, you see things in me that I cannot see in me. That's why I'm asking you to search me. Mm-hmm. And to know my heart, that I also might know my heart better. Because there's something about the human heart that we need to fess up to. Now, we like to use phrases like this. I've said this. You've probably said this too. He has a good heart. Just bless her heart. That's usually what you say just before you're dissing somebody. You know, bless her heart. No, but she has a good heart. He has a good heart. Who's heard that phrase? Yes, of course. There's only one problem with that phrase. It's not true. It's not true.
Doesn't have to go to
line. You know, the scriptures throughout, but we're going to just look for a moment at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. It says this. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? In 17:10, if you're reading there, the Lord answers that question. I, the Lord, search the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. In other words, my heart is, among other things, deceived. I do not see me clearly. And see, you know this, and I know this, because you also observe this just in the world around us, because we have a capacity to self-justify just about anything, right? Now, we don't see it in ourselves, but we see it very clearly in the people around us. Look at the people around you. You know, don't you? Uh-huh. Just one, yeah. I don't have a drinking problem. I'm just very social with a high tolerance for alcohol. It's fine. I'm not really cruel. It's because she had it coming. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have done that, but at least I'm not as bad as Hitler or whatever, you know, somebody. We have a remarkable capacity to self-justify, because all of us want to believe that we're good people. We all do. That's natural. That's normal. That's just part of the human condition. We want to think that we're good. And so in order to do that, we have to hide significant parts of who we really are from ourselves. And it comes along with this lie that we believe on some level. We believe that if I really saw who I am, at the depths of who I am, if I was fully aware of how depraved I can be, I wouldn't like me very much. That's true. If I saw my full capacity for evil, how selfish I really am, how narcissistic I really am, I wouldn't like me very much. And then we come with the next assumption. We go, well, and then God must not like me very much. So I need to protect myself against that self-awareness of my own depravity in order to feel good about me. And I'm assuming if I don't see it, then God must not see it. So that's not good. The problem is, and this is the gospel, and this is where you just need to hear the good news today if you've never heard it before. Can I just see your eyes? Okay. All right. Here's the truth. God already knows. He already knows. He knows what's in your soul. On the deepest and darkest level. And He loves you. He loves you. And there's nothing that you can do that will change that reality. The only person who misses out when, as we live under our own self-deception, is ourselves. We're the ones that we hurt from that. So we go a little bit deeper. So let's keep going here. So we start with the assumption that God can see things in us and in me that I cannot see, because my heart is deceitful. And so we get to the next phrase. Test me and know my, what's the next phrase?
Anxious
thoughts. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. That's another way of saying something like this. God, would you reveal my fears? That's our anxious thoughts, the stuff that you worry about, the stuff that keeps you up at night, the stuff that gets under your skin and under my skin, our fears. Now here I'm not talking about like the regular everyday fears like mice, spiders, and snakes in the IRS. I mean, stuff we normally would just assume we're supposed to fear. I'm talking about the fears that really drive our behavior, the really deep-seated, deep-rooted fears. Fears like this, fears of rejection. Fears of failure. Maybe fears of loss of control. And the truth is, we act out of those fears whether we're aware of it or not. You know, the person that fears rejection is going to cling to relationships around them, maybe with codependency, or perhaps they're going to prolong relationships that aren't even good for anybody just because they are so afraid of breaking ties or going separate ways, because what we fear on the deepest and darkest level is rejection. So we'll do all sorts of things. We'll compromise ourselves. We'll compromise our values. We'll enter into and continue in relationships that aren't healthy or good or right because we are so afraid of being alone. That's the truth. It's getting quiet in the room. Do you notice that? The person that fears failure over all things will twist the truth. I mean, if your deepest fear is failure, you've got to do anything possible to make it seem like you're not a failure. Because what if you came to that reality that you failed at something? Oh my gosh, you failed at something. I failed at something, therefore I am a failure, therefore I am worthless, therefore I don't like me, therefore God must hate me too. That's how we work in our little brains. Test me, God, and know my anxious thoughts. Or, you know, maybe the fear that we have is actually the fear of our own emotions. You know, we fear that if we actually start to delve into these inner parts of our life, we're going to feel really crappy. And we don't like that. We don't want to feel bad about ourselves. And so we just push it off. And that's one of the reasons why people enter into addictions, whether that's addictive behavior or addictive substances, is just to try to make the pain stop. It's not because people are stupid and they want to wreck their life. It's because they're hurting and they just want the pain to go away. It's one of the reasons why when somebody goes into an addictive behavior, especially for a period of time, it's almost like they're emotionally suspended at that moment. So somebody that enters into a drug addiction in their teen years, and then 10 years later, you know, they finally find, you know, by God's grace, they find freedom. You might be 26, 27, 28 years old, but with the heart of a 16-year-old. Because your emotional life has just been suspended that long. We can be afraid of our own emotions. We can be afraid of our own fears, and so we just shove them aside. Mm-hmm. Keep them from our own awareness, thinking we're keeping them from God's awareness, thinking that we're keeping ourselves from God's rejection. When the gospel is the exact opposite. Or, here's one of the parts that just stinks about being a pastor. You have to read this stuff, and you have to think about what you're about to say before you say it. And so, you know, as I go through the processes of, you know, if I'm going to challenge you to start praying, search me first, that's where we're going. And by the way, this is the easy week of the three. So buckle up. I'm kind of assuming this is not going to be a church growth, you know, series. I'm assuming this is going to be a church, maybe we'll go deeper series together. And I'm kind of assuming, because, I mean, next week we're going to talk about the send me prayer. And like, what would it mean if we actually gave God a blank check on our life? Or the break me prayer. What if we said, God, I want my heart to actually break for the things that break your heart? See, these are prayers that they cost us. They're terrifying. They're terrifying prayers. I'm kind of assuming that next week, you know, Friday and Saturday, there's going to be a lot of spiritual warfare in our congregation. So look for it. You'll have a sick cat. You'll have some reason. You'll have a bad case of sunshine. And like, you know, do I want to go to church today? No, I better avoid it. And so just be, and pray for each other with that. I'm assuming that we're going to experience some of that. Because these are hard prayers. These are hard, scary, terrifying prayers. Of course they are. And they're terrifying to me too. So, you know, I'm praying prayers like, God, would you search my heart? And God, would you help test my motives and my fears? And I have to come to grips with things like, you know, on some level in my soul, what I fear is disappointing people. I really like being liked. And so it's really hard saying things that somebody might not like. Or if somebody disagrees with me, I just hate it. I lose sleep over it. They're upset with me. I hate it. And the other, I also remember passages like Galatians 1:10. You know, am I now trying to win the approval of man or the approval of God? If I'm still trying to win the approval of man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, Lord, test me and know my anxious thoughts. These prayers will bring us to some level of gracious self-awareness to say, God, this is something I really struggle with. I've got to lay it before you. I've got to acknowledge it, and I ask you to help me with it. Help me to long for your approval more than it. That's my prayer. That's my way out. God, help me to long for your approval more than anybody else's approval. I don't want the words on my first day in heaven to be, well done, good and faithful servant. Not, hey, you got a lot of Facebook likes. So, I'm daring you. I'm challenging each other. I'm challenging me. Pray these prayers. They're dangerous. Let's go to the next phrase, because it gets scarier. This is this. Okay, well, here's the truth you've got to deal with. Okay, we'll get there in a second. Because, see, the truth is what we fear the most usually reveals where we trust God the least. Think about that. It might even be worth writing that one down. I think that's pretty good. What we fear the most reveals where we trust God the least. The area that we've been trying to keep at arm's length, the place where we've, you know, brick wall, talk to the hand, not going to deal with that. There's a good chance the reason why we're defensive is because we put our defenses up. We've been defending that area of our life from our own self-awareness. We've been defending that area of life, we think, from God's awareness. And there's a good chance that that's the part of life where the Spirit most wants to do His gracious, loving, transforming work in you and in me. Then we get to the final phrase. See, verse 24, if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, we're saying, God, I'm giving you permission to see, to uncover my sin. How's that feel? Giving you permission to uncover my sin. And to lead me out of it. Lord, I'm giving you permission to look. And Lord, I'm giving you permission to bring to my awareness areas of my life where I am out of sync with your will for me. See if there's any offensive way in me. And lead me. So there's three questions that can be helpful with that. Now I do hope that, you know, the first place you go is just as you pray. And this is what the challenge would be this week is to start praying some search me prayers. Mm-hmm. To every day, take a moment, wherever your quiet time is, whether that's in the shower, whether that's while you're driving the car, whether that's, you know, while you're waiting for the coffee to brew in the morning, whenever, however that is, and just say, God, search my heart. I hope that the first place that you experience this is just in the still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Gently revealing areas of your life that he's working on. And he will. He will if we listen. But there's some other prayers that can also help to reveal those things. Because, see, God works just, you know, through the Holy Spirit quietly in our life. And he also works through each other. I mean, we are a body of Christ. We need each other much more than we're aware of. And so here's some questions that can help to uncover perhaps some things that the Spirit is looking to reveal to us. First question is this: what are other people trying to tell me? There are people in your life, here I'm not talking about the critics. I realize there are critics. There are some people, they're just mean, they're negative about everything, and you know, it's Tuesday, so it's your day, and like that's not what I'm talking about. You know. And realizing that the more responsibility you have, the more significant the things you're doing are, the more you're going to attract critics. Be ready for some of that. Do listen to the critics, but don't take them quite as serious as the people I'm talking about here. I'm talking about people in your life who love you and who you respect. What are they trying to tell you? Are there things that people are trying to speak into your life repeatedly? There's a very good chance that somewhere behind those words is the Spirit's nudging. Now, when those words come into your life and when they come into my life, they are not fun. They do not feel good at all. Hey, Andrew. Looked kind of flirty back there. What was that about? Hey, Pastor. There's this issue in the church, and we've talked about this before, and it's still there. Are you going to deal with it? Realizing that if you've been given a position of authority of any sort of responsibility over a group of people, initially the problem is the problem, but if you don't deal with the problem, now the problem's you. So, are we going to get over some of this desire to just please everybody and deal with this or not? What are the people around you trying to tell you? People who love you. People who care about you. People who respect you. And you respect. What have I rationalized for some time? You've got your defense already prepared because you know somebody's going to say it. And you're like, I got a good reason why I'm doing that. Yeah. And you know. I mean, you know. But you've been keeping it at arm's length. Or the third question is, where am I most defensive? What's the area that the people around me, they know that if they talk to me about this, I'm going to bristle up. I'm either going to say it, or I'm going to somehow communicate. You can go anywhere, you can talk about anything, but you and I, we ain't going there. We're not going to talk about that. Chances are, somewhere behind it is the gentle nudging of the Spirit. The question is, are we open to it? So the Search Me prayers kind of have four little subcomponents. We're going to review them just quickly here. God, would you search my heart? I need you to look inside of me and help me to see the things in me that I cannot see. God, would you reveal my fears? Lord, would you uncover my sins? And Lord, would you lead me? That's why these are dangerous prayers. And so I'm challenging you. I'm challenging me to start praying some dangerous prayers. Ones that might disrupt your life. That will cost you something. That might hurt. And that God will use to transform you. You ever wonder whether prayer works? You try, even half-heartedly, start praying a dangerous prayer. Dangerous prayer. So here's the challenge. Let's get real. And now, no guilt in this. I mean, not everybody's ready to pray prayers like this. This is where it gets scary. But I want to ask you over the next week. Who's with me? We're gonna pray a few prayers like this. We're gonna pray a search me prayer on a regular basis. Lord, search my heart, and then we're going to try listening. No guilt if you don't put your hand up. It's okay. pray together. We put that passage up on the screen because we're gonna start practicing some words. In one form or another, we're going to start praying. And it's going to be scary. And it's going to be dangerous. This time, some of us are going to say it like we mean it. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we close in prayer. Every head bowed for a moment, every eye closed. Because see, it occurs to me that for some of us, the first step of this prayer is just to say, search me, God. I mean, God maybe has been at a distance in your life. You've kept him at a distance for whatever reason. Maybe you thought he wouldn't really love you if he actually knew who you were. And here today by the Holy Spirit, you're starting to realize that maybe the assumptions that you've had about God just weren't true. That maybe God loves you a whole lot more than you thought he did. So I want to give you an opportunity. If you feel like you are distant from God, maybe you've never given your heart to Christ, or it has been a long time. I'm not talking about the folks that recently made recommitments. I know there's a lot of you. But it's been a while. And today is your day. Today is your freedom day. Today is the day that your life changes and you get a new identity in Christ. And so if that's you, if today is your big day and the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart and it's time to turn things around, and you're asking for God's help, you're asking Christ into your life and into your heart, you and I, let's just make eye contact for a moment. Okay. I see you. And 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 oh my gosh, the Lord's doing a lot of work today. So we're gonna pray together. And so just so people that are taking these first steps of faith or these first steps of recommitment don't feel all by themselves alone, we're going to pray some prayers out loud together. Congregation, you okay with that? Okay. Let's pray. Let's pray out loud together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me, that you died on the cross for me, that through you, my sins are forgiven, and I have a brand new identity as a child of God. You died for me. Help me to live for you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Now there's more eyes than I could count around the room. So I know God is doing some powerful things. And now I normally don't do this, so if I offend you, just it's okay. But I got a sense that maybe this is what the Spirit is calling us to do today. For some of you, you just need to declare your freedom moment. And I'm going to give you a chance in about 3 seconds to just go public, just to stand up and say, I am the Lord is touching my life, and he is turning things around starting today. Today's my freedom day. Today's my big day. Now, I know some of you, now coming to Christ does not require public humiliation. But I want to give you in about 5 seconds, I want to give you an opportunity to take a bold stance to declare, this was my day. And Jesus Christ is setting me free, starting right here, right now, today. Stand up. There we go. Brothers and sisters in Christ, make sure to hug and bake. They just